Lord, help me with this study about you, of you being our example, and how we should be an example and follow the example that you gave us. Keep a hedge around us, keep us safe, and we ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen. So we've been doing a study on our Lord Jesus Christ for, 6 months, maybe more, maybe 9 months, something like that. So we've gone through everything, right? Well, everything that I could think of at that time, not everything, because if we go through everything, it'll be the whole Bible, and we'll never get through it. But we've been talking who he is, you know, how he's the God of heaven that came down, the Son of God. We talked about the Trinity. We talked about how he was man in the flesh, why he became man. We talked about his sacrifice. We talked about different types. You can go to the Old Testament and see different types of our Lord. We talked about prophecy. There's different things we have gone through. We talked about his example, how he is our example. And that's where we kind of stopped the last few weeks, and I'm going to pick up on that. If he's our example, then that means we as believers should follow his example. And so that means how he walked, right? Now we know we can't be him, right? Because he's God that was in the flesh. But the reality is we should allow him to live through us, to live through us. So look here at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look here, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Right? So we'll just stop there just for a second. So anyway, here it is. He's talking about our walk. A walk. When you think about taking a walk, right? Let's say it was just you and me as a physical thing, as a walk. What would you have to do if we were here at church right now and I said, hey, let's get up and take a walk? He took me literally. Amen. So little boy took me literally. He went. And he said, I think it wasn't a walk for him. I think it was a sprint. Amen. So he's like, I'm out of here, preacher. So praise the Lord. So, but if, as the little boy showed us the example, if you're going to go for a physical walk, what would you have to do right now? What would you have to do?
Stand up.
Stand, right? You would have to stand. And I'm not going to make you do that. And then what would you do after you stood?
1 foot in front of the other.
You would take 1 foot in front of another, right? And you know what that is? Yes, it's walking. But you're making an effort, right? You're making an effort. You can't just sit there in your seats and say, hey, I'm going to take a walk. Now, you could do it in your mind, maybe. You could do it maybe if you're dreaming or whatever, and you're like, oh, look at me, I'm walking or whatever. But physically walking, you have to make an effort. You got to get up. You got to do it, right? There's some things in life. Have you ever woke up every single day and said, this is going to be a great day, can't wait to go to work? And you've done that every single day of your life? Right? Matter of fact, most of us probably woke up and been like, I want to stay in bed. Or you may have said, I don't want to go to work, right? Hopefully, you said, but I have to go to work, right? You still made an effort. You may have been tired. You may have been sick, whatever it was. So when we see this, what he says, this I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What he's telling us as believers, so he's talking about those that are saved, those that are born again, right? Saved. You can't be in the Spirit unless you are in Christ, born again. So he's talking about our walk, or this would be our practice. Sometimes you will hear that word that's mentioned. He's not talking about our position, because that's settled in Christ. We have eternal life, but now he's talking about our walk that's there. So to take this effort or take this walk means you're going to have to make an effort. That you, every single day, to walk in the Spirit means you're going to have to decide and say, yes, I am going to walk for the Lord today. Amen. You're going to have to be surrendered, right? Because if you say no, well, the reality is then you won't, right? You know, sometimes there's this misconception out there to thinking of backslidden, of someone that's down in the gutter and living in great sin. And yes, that can be backslidden. But you know, if you're not moving forward, if you're not walking for the Lord today, that's the first step to backsliding. Amen. You're either walking for the Lord or you're not. And there's this misconception to thinking, you know what, I'm just in the middle ground and I could stay here in the middle ground, right? No. God wants us to move forward. You have to make an effort every single day. So every single day you're going to have to make an effort to walk with the Lord. Does our flesh going to allow us to do that? It's going to fight back, right? Our flesh does not want us to walk in the Lord, right? You think about it. The Bible tells us this flesh and the spirit, what are they? What did the Bible say here about the flesh and the spirit? It's what? What was the word? Contrary, right? It's against, right? It's not the same, right? It's not linking together, right? You think about a marriage. A marriage is, you know, husband and wife, right? Man and a woman, that's all you have, right? Come together in a union, and now it's one, right? And a marriage, you think about, now in God's eyes, they're one, and they should be working together, right? You know when a problem happens in a marriage? When the couple is not working together, you know? Here it is, the husband wants to go this way, and the wife wants to go that way, right? And what happens? There's tension that's in that marriage, right? And what happens? There's going to be conflict, right? That's problems that's there. So if you think about it, is the flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants us to go that way, and the spirit wants us to go this way, right? Walk for him. Maybe I should have did it the other way because I said this was the ladies and that was the men. But unfortunately, we both can be on both sides, right? But the reality is they're contrary. When do you get rid of your flesh?
When he comes and gets rid of it. Yeah.
When he comes, is rapture or Barb, what did you say? When you die. When you die, right? So the reality is this, rest assured, you're not going to get rid of your flesh until he comes or you die. So you know what that means? You're going to be in a battle. You're going to be in a battle every single day until the Lord takes you home.
Yeah, moment by moment.
It's every second, every day, right? You think about it. So, but the reality is this, he's telling us we need to make an effort to walk. And the way to walk, to be in the spirit, means you have to be surrendered. You have to be surrendered. When you got saved, this life that you have, the life I have, it's no longer my life. It's my Lord's life, right? I am his servant. He's the master. Whatever he wants, that's what I should do. Can I say, Jenny, I do that all the time? No, right? I should, but I don't. Why don't I?
Because
of my flesh, because of my sin nature, right? So the reality is, here it is, he's telling us what we should do is we need to make sure that we walk in the Spirit. That means make an effort every single day. Take up your cross every single day. Today you got the victory. Praise the Lord. But if God tarries, you know, tomorrow you're going to have to take up your cross. And you may do well in the morning. Then at lunchtime, what happens? Oh, that flesh, you know, something happens. Well, then you ask the Lord to forgive you and get back on that path and taking those steps forward, right? To walk. But what we could see in this walk is, it's going to take an effort. So look what he says here. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. So he's saying these things, right? These are things that are against God. They're sin, they're wickedness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, railings of such like, of which I've tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, No one as a Christian is perfect. None of us are perfect, right? So even as Christians, we'll make mistakes. But there's something wrong with someone when they say they're born again and they continue to live in sin and there's been no changes. No changes in their life. Now, the Bible says that if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. That means your life is going to be different. But he didn't say you're perfect, right? If you never struggled with sin, then he would never say, Barb, walk in the Spirit, right? If it wasn't going to be a struggle, he wouldn't have to tell us to do this, right? I mean, this would be just, we don't need that, right? But we struggle. And what God is doing is he's telling us, right? The flesh is against the Spirit. And then he's saying, hey, you could see the works of the flesh. And then he speaks of the works of the Spirit, right? This fruit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. So when you are walking, making an effort, right, to be surrendered, to stay in the Spirit, what you're going to start producing is the Holy Spirit in you that's working in you. And what will happen is you'll start producing this fruit, right? Not apples and not, you know, but actual love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You'll see that in your life. Now, as you grow, you know, your fruit can grow. And as you grow, there may be different fruit that comes out, right? So you think about little Mia. You know, little Mia's young, right? Mia's what, 3 years old? Four? Three? Three, right? So you think about Mia, right? She's young. What she will show will be different from someone that's like us, that's older than Mia, right? So if you think about it from the standpoint of a Christian that may be a new Christian that's saved, you know, just for a short period of time, versus someone that's seasoned, and, you know, the Bible is sometimes referred to as perfect, as mature Christian, the fruit that's produced is going to be different, per se. But it'll still be the same fruit, right? So here it is. Let's say I just got saved. And if I got saved, well, the reality is this. I still have that sin nature, like you have that sin nature. But I may not have the victory in some things in my life. But I'm still going to start producing some fruit as I learn to continue to walk with the Lord, taking those steps, right? So don't get on someone that's, you know, that's a new Christian. And you may be saved 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 some years, right? And you're like, why don't you have the fruit that I have? Well, the reality is when you get to that attitude, the reality is you have to go back and look the long suffering, right? Sometimes even us as seasoned Christians can sometimes forget that. Sometimes we can forget that when we first got saved and we were growing in the Lord, there were still things that we were struggling with, producing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we can't help our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible is very clear on that. We should, right? But there's a right and wrong way, right? So here it is, John struggling with something. You know, don't take the Bible and smack him over the head, even though sometimes he may need that, right? Well, ask the Lord how you can help John, right? And the reality is vice versa. You know, John may say something to me, right? We know you can go to other verses of the Bible that says, go to meekness, right? And things. But anyway, when you're walking, you know what you're going to do? You're going to produce fruit. Ask yourself, are you walking? Again, he wants us to walk like him. And if we're going to start walking like him, you should see this fruit that's being produced by the Holy Spirit in your life. Can you see love? You know one of the evidence of salvation? Anyone know an evidence of salvation? Anyone? Any guess?
Evidence.
What's that? Yes. When you get saved, there's one of the evidence of salvation is there's a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Holy Spirit enters in, and you'll care and love for Christians. That doesn't mean we'll always get along with everyone. but there'll be a love. If you can't stand Christians, well, you know what that means? You are not a Christian. Amen? Because one of the evidence. Now, as you grow in the Lord, that love may be grow, right? It's kind of like a marriage. A marriage should that's there, right? And look what it says here. I'm going to jump down to verse 24. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, look at this, let us also walk in the Spirit, right? You're born again, then walk. God wants you to make an effort to walk. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, I remember one time we had the Joneses. Remember Marlene? Marlene used to come and Elmer. And I remember one time I was preaching. They were here. And I said, you know, as people, we should not, I forget what it is, material things to try to keep up with the Joneses. And I just totally forgot that Marlene and Elmer were here, the Joneses. So keeping up with Barbara or something, amen. But anyway, why is it? Because our life should be about the things of God, not the material stuff of this world. I'm not saying that you can't have a car, can't have a house, but where's your treasure? Where's your heart? You know, look what the Bible says over here to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. So again, we're talking about air walk. Look here at 1 Thessalonians. So air walk would be, we have to be surrendered. It means in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. Look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, there's a lot that's in the Bible about walk. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says, Whether more, when we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, look at this, how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye should abound more and more, as you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, right? So what did they, as Paul and the others there, did for this church? What did they do? What would you take out of that where he says, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk? But what did they have to do for them to know this? Yes. They were example. They were example. And what else did they do here?
Hit them with the Bible.
No, they didn't hit them with the Bible, right? But what do you see here? How you ought to walk. What do you think they did? Actually did? Ariana. What's that? They were example, yeah? So let's say that if I was going to show you, you know,
they showed them a routine.
Like, well, let's say that this was a gift, and I was going to wrap it for you, right? You don't want me to do that, right? But I would have a piece of paper, right? I'd cut it out and tell you how long to have it. But that's what I'd do. I'd take a paper. I would say, okay, you want to have it almost double. That's there. And what am I doing? Then you place it over the paper. Teaching you steps, right? I'm explaining to you how to do it, right? I'm showing you, but I'm also instructing, teaching you how you ought, right, to walk. So the reality is, you think about it as new believers, when you get saved, yes, you have the Holy Spirit that comes in, but the reality is, as we need still be discipled to grow. Amen. Do you know the importance of church? We live in a society today that doesn't see the importance of church or going to church. I don't need to go to church. Who told you that? It wasn't from God. Amen. You'll never find that in the Bible. It says, don't go to church. I think it was Paul that said in Galatians, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. those that teach that you don't have to go to church. Well, the reality is they're not teaching the Bible. It's discipling. And that's what they did. They were there with this local church. And what were they doing? They were teaching them. They were telling them. They were instructing them how you ought to walk, right? So they were explaining. Do you know what preaching is? Preaching is expounding the scriptures. But you know what that means? It's explaining to you how you ought to walk, right? So it's kind of like preaching. When you think about it, I'm trying to go from explain from this side, the back side, the side, the other side, the top, the bottom, and try to go through to explain, right, how you ought to walk. So what he was doing is he was instructing. They were showing. They were explaining. And it says, so ye would abound more and more. What do you think that would be? If you abound more and more. Growing. Right? Growing. Does God want you to grow?
Yes.
Yes, right? So the reality is this. If you want to grow in the Lord, which is another evidence of salvation, there's a desire for God. Doesn't mean that you won't be backslidden and start walking away from the Lord. But there's a desire. But to grow means this. That means you have to walk. And if you're going to walk, you're going to walk in His path. Then that means you have to find out what the Bible says. Right?
And you're going to have to do things that are not comfortable.
Well, yes. There may be some things that the reason... You know why it's not comfortable? Do you know why it's not comfortable?
I did it.
Do you know why it's not comfortable? We can answer that. You know why it's not comfortable?
You're not going to grow if it's not.
Well, no.
For me, I feel like I've grown more. The things that he puts me through or I go through that he leads me through, if I follow him, even though it's not comfortable, in the end, I'm very appreciative and I can look back and be like, and then for the next trial, I kind of know that I need to go through it even though it's not comfortable. So I push forward and...
Here's the two things. First thing is this. It's because you're flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I hadn't thought of that.
That's why it's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, because the flesh.
So our Lord tells us, hey, go witness, right? And what is it? It's not your spirit that says, no, you don't want to do that. It's your flesh. What is she going to say? What's he going to think?
Yeah, exactly.
The reason why, it's because of our flesh, right? Well, if you do that, you're going to heaven. So, but it's our flesh. And the other thing you think about, it's by faith. It's faith. Do you remember in the Old Testament, after they were getting ready, as Joshua was leading them to the Promised Land, do you remember they got to the Jordan River? Remember that? Kind of remember? I think you were too old. But you kind of remember they got to the Jordan River. And as they got to the Jordan River, the Promised Land was over there. And then God gave instructions to Joshua what to do. He told those priests, I think they had the Ark of the Covenant. And he told them this, where the water was there, tell them to go forward. And when they step down into the water, that he was going to stop the water and they would cross over.
Amen.
Remember that? So think about that just for a moment. The water was still going. Right? It's faith. The step. And believe that God would stop the water. Do you understand? So the reality is, when you think about it, you're saved by faith, right? But our walk, as the Bible would say, as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. It's by faith. If you see everything, that's not faith, right? Faith is seeing it by your eyes, seeing what God said, but without seeing it physically. The water's going, right? It's coming down there. Joshua, you want me to do what? Step in the water? God's going to stop the water? It was during a time when the water was going fast. It was a flood. You want me to step in that? How about if you stop the water first, then I'll get there? A lot of times we act that way, right? Well, if you do that, you know what happens? Your walk, you're stopping your walk with the Lord. When we walk, it's by faith. Water's still going. They stepped down. They got into the water. And when they got into the water, God stopped it, right? So your daily living, as you're living your life, you're walking by faith. You're walking by faith based on what God said in His Word. You're looking. God says this, right? What was it? They says, as they taught them, as you ought to walk. So what they were teaching them, hey, this is what God wants you to do. God wants you to spend time with Him every day as you get into the Bible and praying. When you do that, then you can grow. See, if you really believe that's true, you know what you'll do? Tomorrow, you'll step in faith and you'll get in the Bible and you'll read it. Amen. See, that's walking, right? Do you know, people can be saved. You do believe that, right? I am not a Calvinist. This Bible's not a Calvinist. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. God did not just make this person born into the world and they have no way to get to heaven. No, He died for all. But the reality is, we need to share. Do you know someone loved you enough to tell you about Jesus?
Amen.
Yeah? It may have been your mom and dad or grandparents, or could have been a stranger. Someone loved you enough to tell you about Jesus. You know why they did that? Because they had Jesus in. But they also believed if they would tell you, that you may believe. They had faith. Do you know why we share the gospel with others? Because we believe what the Bible teaches, right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I believe if I share the Word of God that someone then could hear it by faith, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they can get saved. But we also have to realize, that's what he's saying, you have to teach, right? And tell people, right? And that's what he's saying here. He says, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, right? So the reality is this, there was instructions. Who here likes putting anything together? Anyone likes putting stuff together? All right. How many then follow the instructions, the manual? You follow it? You follow it?
Yes.
Try to follow it?
There's too many times I didn't follow it.
You learn from it, right? You know why they have those instructions there? What's that?
To get you pretty.
To look pretty? No. So that way you can put it together like it should be put together. Right? Sometimes we joke about that. It's like, hey, look at this. I got 5 screws left over, right? And then you sit down in the chair and it's like, why does it lean a little bit? I don't know, honey. Put a board on the side, right? No, you needed that screw to hold it up, right? Do you ever think about this? This is an instruction manual. This is the instruction manual. How to live life. How to live. Dave, you and Barb have been married for how many years now?
Almost
45 years. To have a successful marriage, right? It's in this book, right?
Unless I run my mouth.
Unless he runs his mouth.
No,
yeah.
No guarantees. You got to work out every day.
Amen. Every day you're walking, right? Taking steps. Amen. That's good, right? Unless you said that you run your mouth, what that would be? That would be an example of being in the flesh, right? So, but you think about it, a marriage, they're together, right? God gives an instruction book. And if they're going to have a good, solid marriage, follow the instruction book, right? So, but everything that you need, how to raise your kids. Do you know this is the instruction books here? We're living in a day and age where the world will tell you, you should not raise your kids according to this book. They'll tell you that. They'll talk about discipline. Don't discipline the Bible. The way the Bible says is wrong. And they'll tell you that. They'll tell you how a husband and wife should be. Nope, that's wrong. Well, ask yourself. I mean, just look in the world what it has produced. Is that the result? Is that what you want? Well, if that's the result, then don't follow this manual. That's what you'll get, right? If you want one that works or kids that turn out, follow the manual. It's here. Amen? The instruction book is here. So anyway, how is that? That's air walk. Look what the Bible says over here to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm skipping over here. Philippians chapter 3. Ephesians. Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. Look down here, verse 15. So again, we're talking about our walk. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now that word perfect, sometimes perfect means sinless, right? Here, that word perfect talks about complete. It's talking about mature, right? It's talking about those of us as believers that are mature, right? Mature Christians. We're trying to live for God. That's what it refers to. There's not a single person as a born-again Christian that has never sinned since they've been saved, right? We all sin, amen? So he's not referring to that. He's talking about us that are saved, those that are mature. And because look what he says here. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in any things ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained. Look at this. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Look at this. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Example, right? Here is Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us believers, right, that we need to grow, be mature. But then he's saying that they are an example to others. Now, I don't want you to be me, amen, right? I don't want you to be Dave, right? I don't want you to be Alma, right? Our desire is we should set a good examples, but my desire is to get you to be more like Jesus, not more like me, amen? Not more like Alma, but more like Jesus. But what he was saying is his walk, what was he doing? He was living for the Lord, and he was being an example to them of how to live for the Lord, right? An example. Let me ask you, what kind of example are you to others? What kind of example am I to others? I remember I heard from a pastor, there was a preacher that had... He had Bible kids, Bible college kids, and he was training them. And as he was training those Bible college kids, the preacher was a good, from my understanding, he was a good one. But he would always, when he was preaching, there was something that was like it was in his throat or whatever. So he would go a little bit and kind of like a, you know. And then he would preach a little bit and go, you know. But that was just him. He had something in his throat. Do you know what happened with those college kids that graduated that was under his preaching? Yeah, they would go out to other places and they would start to preach. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the way. They would do that. And what were they doing? They heard him. They were kind of mimicking him of what he was doing, right? So don't follow me, amen? Especially the way I read, amen? You'll be all in trouble. Ariana was like, with her English, I was like, don't listen to me, amen? Listen to your teacher, don't listen to me. But what he was saying is, we should still be an example. We should be an example. Our desire should be that we grow in the Lord, and we are an example that we can help other people. He didn't say we're perfect. but we should be an example. Ask yourself, what kind of example are you to your kids, to your neighbors, to your friends, co-workers? What kind of example are you? Are we a good example or a bad example, right? Only you can answer that. You know it. And if you are a bad example, let me ask you, what are you going to do to change? To stop being a bad example, right? You have to come to the realization and make an effort to start walking as God wants you to walk, right? Or you could be that bad example. Here, let me give you, see how you can get this, right? I'll give you two people's names. And you tell me what you think of. The first thing that comes to your mind. Ready? Abraham. What's the first thing? No, I'm talking the Bible. We're not going to get John. Amen. Bible names, right? People of the Bible. Ready? Abraham. What's the first thing you think of? Thought it. What?
Sarah.
You thought of Sarah? What else? Good.
I think it's like all of them, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Alma?
Faithful.
Faithful, yeah.
Father Abraham,
right? So that's what you're thinking of. The promise that was given to him, the circumcision you think that was given to him, you know, children of Israel, Abraham, right? How about Lot?
Oh boy, Sodom and Gomorrah.
What's that? What else do you think?
Horrible kids.
Horrible kids. What else do you think of Lot?
He didn't show my example.
He didn't set an example, right? So, do you know that they were family? They were family. Did you know that Abraham was saved, right? Was Lot saved? What's that? Lot? Anyone else? No, go ahead. You're fine. You're good. You see how easy you went to Abraham and said he was saved? And Lot, you start having questions? Now, I could tell you Lot's saved based on the Bible, because in 1 Peter, God said that he delivered that righteous man. God called him just. He was born again. But you know what? You look at his life, you don't see a good example, right?
I don't want people to say my name and think that I'm not a good example.
Yeah. So, but think about this. What happened with his children? Because he wasn't living for God.
They got caught up in Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
There were those in Sodom and Gomorrah and others that committed incest. Yeah, that's all right. I'm a preacher. I'll say it. I don't care. but you think about that, right? He was born again. But you would look at his life and say he wasn't walking like he should have, right? And what happened because he wasn't the example? He was a bad example that his family followed that bad example, right? Can I tell you, it's important as believers to set example, right? Let me ask you, what would you think if I was a preacher and you came here and I'm committing adultery on my wife?
See you later.
Right?
Yeah, I would not mind to be around you.
You would, right? I would not be qualified as a preacher. It could not be qualified. But you would say what? That is a horrible example, right? So what would you think if I was a preacher and I drank a beer? Right? You think of other stuff that's there, right? So why is it when you look at me and say, preacher, don't you dare do it, but when you look in the mirror, you feel like it's okay for you to do it? Oh, well, now I'm stepping on toes, right? But it's
root
beer. But it'd be root beer. There you go.
I didn't say that.
I know, I'm just teasing you. So I was pointing to you. That you're fine, John. But all I'm saying is this. Watch the steps you take. Make sure your steps are lining up to this book, right? You may be going to heaven, but the influences that you have around you, You don't want them to turn out like Lot's, right? God gave us that example for a reason that we can learn from it. Any questions with that? You have a question? Go ahead. It could hurt someone, yes.
Yeah.
It could hurt. Because I guarantee when you invite someone to church, sometimes the response that you'll hear is, well, so-and-so says he's a Christian, and look how he lives, or this or that. You know what I tell them? I can't tell you if someone's born again or not. I don't know that. And I said, if you're looking for perfection, then you ain't going to come here either. Amen? Because no one is perfect, you know? We are forgiven. He's perfect. Amen. Our desire is to be like him. Yes.
Yeah, can I give you an example?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Chris's dad, whom I work in our house for,
yeah.
When you walk in the shower and everything. And then when I mentioned, found out that this person works in the bank, and I mentioned to different business my friends, and everyone had said how wonderful he is, how sweet he is, how kind he is. This person.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
That was good. Yeah. That's a good example, right?
And I told you about what a dad is. His dad is.
Yeah, yeah, he has a good dad. Yeah.
Thank you.
His mom we're still wondering about. I'm just joking. So, but you think about that. You may not have known, but all the people that you're influencing in your life, right?
Yeah, and that was from God.
Yeah. Set an example. That's a good one, Barb. Thank you. Any other things? Setting the example. So think about that when you leave here today. And when you're out through the week. But again, no one's perfect. Please don't leave here and think that you're perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. There's going to be times in my walk I get off the path. I ask the Lord to forgive me. I get back on. But just keep on walking for Jesus. Keep on walking for Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity for our study tonight. I pray that it was something we could learn from, be able to apply to our heart, and help us to walk for you. Help us to be that example, and help us, Lord, in those times that we get out of the path, Lord, that we would quickly ask you to forgive us and help us to get back to where we need to be. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.